Our second reading to the last chapter of 2 Kings, chapter 25. Second Kings, chapter 25, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. And it came to pass in the ninth year of his reign, that is Zedekiah, editorial note, in the ninth year of Zedekiah's reign, in the tenth month, in the tenth day of the month, that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came, he and all his host, against Jerusalem. And they pitched against it, and they built forts against it round about. And the city was besieged unto the 11th year of King Zedekiah. And on the ninth day of the fourth month, the famine prevailed in the city, and there was no bread for the people of the land. And the city was broken up, and all the men of war fled by night by the way of the gate between the two walls, which is by the king's garden. Now the Chaldees were against the city round about, and the king went the way toward the plain. And the army of the Chaldees pursued after the king and overtook him in the plains of Jericho, and all his army were scattered from him. So they took the king and brought him up to the king of Babylon, to Riblah, and gave judgment upon him. And they slew the sons of Zedekiah before his eyes, and put out the eyes of Zedekiah, and bound him with fetters of brass, and carried him to Babylon. And in the fifth month, on the seventh day of the month, which is the 19th year of King Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came Nebuzaradan, captain of the guard, a servant of the king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem. And he burnt the house of the Lord and the king's house, and all the houses of Jerusalem, and every great man's house burnt he with fire. And all the army of the Chaldees that were with the captain of the guard brake down the walls of Jerusalem round about. Now the rest of the people that were left in the city, and the fugitives that fell away to the king of Babylon with the remnant of the multitude, did Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, carry away. But the captain of the guard left of the poor of the land to be vine dressers and husbandmen. And the pillars of brass that were in the house of the Lord, and the bases and the brazen sea that was in the house of the Lord, did the Chaldees break in pieces and carried the brass of them to Babylon. And the pots and the shovels and the snuffers and the spoons and all the vessels of brass wherewith they ministered took they away. And the fire pans and the bowls and such things as were of gold in gold and of silver in silver, the captain of the guard took away. The two pillars, one sea, and the bases which Solomon had made for the house of the Lord, the brass of all these vessels was without weight. The height of the one pillar was 18 cubits, and the chapiter upon it was brass, and the height of the chapiter 3 cubits, and the wreathen work and pomegranates upon the chapiter round about all of brass. And like unto these had the second pillar with wreathen work. And the captain of the guard took Seraiah, the chief priest, and Zephaniah, the second priest, and the 3 keepers of the door. And out of the city he took an officer that was set over the men of war, and 5 men of them that were in the king's presence, which were found in the city, and the principal scribe of the host which mustered the people of the land, and 80 men of the people of the land that were found in the city. And Nebuzaradan, captain of the guard, took these and brought them to the king of Babylon, to Riblah. And the king of Babylon smote them and slew them at Riblah in the land of Hamath. So Judah was carried away out of their land. And as for the people that remained in the land of Judah, whom Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, had left, even over them he made Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, ruler. And when all the captains of the armies, they and their men, heard that the king of Babylon had made Gedaliah governor, there came to Gedaliah to Mizpah even Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, and Johanan, the son of Kareah, and Seraiah, the son of Tanhumet, the Netophathite, and Jaazaniah, the son of a Maacathite, and they and their men. And Gedaliah sware to them and to their men, and said unto them, Fear not to be the servants of the Chaldees. Dwell in the land and serve the king of Babylon, and it shall be well with you. But it came to pass in the seventh month that Ishmael the son of Nethaniah, the son of Elishama of the seed royal, came, and 10 men with him, and smote Gedaliah that he died, and the Jews and the Chaldees that were with him at Mizpah. And all the people, both small and great, and the captains of the armies arose and came to Egypt, for they were afraid of the Chaldees. And it came to pass in the 37th year of the captivity of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, in the 12th month, on the 27th day of the month, that Evil-Merodach, king of Babylon, in the year that he began to reign, did lift up the head of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, out of prison. And he spake kindly to him, and set his throne above the throne of the kings that were with him in Babylon, and changed his prison garments. And he did eat bread continually before him all the days of his life. And his allowance was a continual allowance given him of the king, a daily rate for every day, all the days of his life. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. Well, the chapter is pretty straightforward. There are a couple of things that we might want to bring out. So, first of all, it says here, in the 9th year, Nebuchadnezzar came, he and all his host. We must violate the chapter break to understand why Nebuchadnezzar came. The last line of the prior chapter is, Zedekiah rebelled against the king of Babylon. There's a there's a record in Babylon that remains to be read even today. The Babylonians never considered Zedekiah to be the king of Judah. They considered Jehoiakim to be the king of Judah. That's why when he was originally brought to Babylon, although he was put in some sort of ward, he was treated fairly, treated somewhat kindly. There's a record of what his provision was every day. But then notice at the end of this chapter, in the 13th year of his captivity, notice Jehoiakim, king of Judah. He's called the king of Judah here at the end of this, although Zedekiah has been reigning as king for some time. Zedekiah is king because he was appointed king, but that would be a vassal under King Nebuchadnezzar. The true king, Jehoiakim, Nebuchadnezzar wanted to have with him in Babylon to show his mastery over him. So this is the kind of king that Nebuchadnezzar was. But Zedekiah rebels against against King Nebuchadnezzar, and we said that we saw that in Ezekiel 17. I want to read for you a little bit out of Ezekiel 12 when we remember how it is that Zedekiah departs out of the city. Listen to what it says here in Ezekiel chapter 12. Okay, so this is that passage where Ezekiel is supposed to do some stuff in the twilight. He's supposed to move around. He's supposed to take things out, move things around over here and over there. Say unto them, I am your sign. This is verse 11. Like as I have done, so shall it be done unto them. They shall remove and go into captivity. And the prince that is among them shall bear upon his shoulder in the twilight. Ezekiel was commanded to put something on his shoulders and to bear a burden in the twilight and go out and come in. Zedekiah goes out with something on his shoulders in the middle of the night, in the twilight. He goes out of the city accompanied by his men. And then notice, he shall cover his face that he see not the ground with his eyes. My net also will I spread upon him, and he shall be taken in my snare, and I will bring him to the land of the Chaldeans, yet shall he not see it, though he shall die there? What happened to Zedekiah before they took him to Babylon? Well, what Nebuchadnezzar wanted to make sure of is that Zedekiah would understand that there will be no succession of his throne. And so he killed his sons before his eyes, and then he put his eyes out. And then he took him to Babylon to remain there the rest of his days. As the prophet Ezekiel spoke, he shall be taken to Babylon, but he shall not see it, though he die there. So this is the prophecy that Ezekiel uttered when the people were wondering, oh, will we have peace now that we have had this second wave of captivity? No, there's going to be a third wave of captivity, and that third wave will be the destruction of Jerusalem, just as we have read here. And this is what Ezekiel describes for the children of Israel. And he also tells them in the prior chapter, in chapter 11, that when the Lord sends his remnant into the land of Babylon, that his glory will depart out of Jerusalem, and he will be a little sanctuary to them where he takes them in Babylon. You'll remember the word of Jeremiah. The word of Jeremiah throughout was, the Lord has appointed this city for destruction. Go out of the city, be captured by the king of Babylon, be taken to Babylon, buy and sell, build houses, give in marriage, give your daughters in marriage, take daughters to your sons in marriage till the day the Lord bring you back. Go and do that. Well, the people of God refused that. They refused the word of the Lord at Jeremiah's hand. And so Zedekiah rebelled against the king of Babylon and so was treated accordingly. All right, so then notice that this final destruction of Jerusalem is complete. They take everything. Everything. They don't leave anything that is worth to be taken, including personnel. They divide between the personnel. In the last chapter, we read that they took out the artisans and the bright ones and all of that, and they left the land in a sort of state of confusion with no one left really to know how to do anything. All the people that managed and organized, all of the leadership, all of that was taken away. All of those that were artisans, that knew how to build things and how to repair things and so on, all of them were taken away. This would have been highly destructive to their, if we can speak in modern terms, highly destructive to their economy, highly destructive to their welfare in this world. Okay, so this time, however, they go all the way into the inner places of the Lord's house and they take everything, all of the gold vessels, all of the silver vessels, and they break up the chapiter and the pillars on the outside of the Lord's house, and they take what was left of the brazen sea. Remember, the oxen had already been taken out from under it. They take what was left of the brazen sea, they break that up, and it says that the brass in these artifacts was without weight. 18 cubits, which is 27 feet at a minimum, probably 30 feet of a brass pillar. I don't think I've ever seen anything like that in my lifetime. A 30-foot tall brass pillar and two of them. And then a chapiter on top of that that was 5 feet again. You know, a chapiter meaning an ornate angled system on top of that pillar. All of that taken away. And then what do we see beyond that? Let's take a look at this in verses 14 and 15. And the pots and the shovels and the snuffers and the spoons and all the vessels of brass wherewith they ministered took they away, and the fire pans and the bowls, such things as were of gold in gold, of silver in silver, the captain of the guard took away. It's not the last time we hear of these things. We hear of them again, interestingly, in the book of Daniel. On the fateful night when Belshazzar saw the hand writing on the wall, when he brought all of those vessels out of storage and said, we're going to celebrate our gods with the artifacts from Judah. Well, the hand writes on the wall, and of course, he dies that night. The next time we see them in the history is when Ezra returns to the land and Nehemiah, and we see a full record of them. When these things were taken out of Jerusalem, beloved, each of them was recorded in a manifest, and then they traveled to Babylon. And when that manifest was reopened, when it was time under Cyrus for the people of God to return to the land, that manifest was reopened, and every single vessel came back to Jerusalem. Is that not wonderful? Well, if the Lord is able to keep track of vessels, He's able to keep track of you and me, isn't he? That's right. Okay, so then we find here two different classes of people. Some are taken out and slaughtered because they are said to be a threat, and then others are left in the land. And the ones that are left in the land, this man Gedaliah, he seems to be a very earnest and upright man. But sadly, he meets a man that is not, a man by the name of Ishmael of the seed royal, who kills him and those who are with him, and then departs himself out of the land to escape the hand of Nebuchadnezzar and the rest of his forces. And then the chapter ends, as I promised you, with Jehoiakim. Jehoiakim was the only monarch that listened to Jeremiah and delivered himself out of the land of Israel during the siege, out of the city of Jerusalem, came out and was arrested and was taken, and in his 13th year was brought to the table of the king of Babylon. No doubt then, the difference between Zedekiah and Jehoiakim are meant for us to take note of. That even if it seems counterintuitive to our nature, even if it seems counterintuitive to our habit, when the Lord commands and we are certain of what the Lord has commanded, let us do it. We will not be the worse for obedience. Thus ends the chapter then, chapter 25, and I'll remind you once again that if you want more information, I would send you to Jeremiah chapters 37, 38, 39, 40, 41, 42 to get a very round understanding of the machinations of Zedekiah. The machinations of Ishmael also are rounded out there. And notice here, it's only mentioned that all the people, both small and great, the captains of the armies arose and came to Egypt, for they were afraid of the Chaldees. You know what they did when they did that? They simply painted a target on Egypt. The Lord was vehement against those folks that they should not escape to Egypt. And so when they went to Egypt, the Lord stirred up the king of Babylon, and he too went to Egypt to retrieve that which had gotten away. We will see Jeremiah there in Egypt, not because he wanted to be, but because Johanan, the son of Kareah, that is mentioned here, will not listen. He and the men that are with him, they will not listen to the prophet Jeremiah, although they come to him to hear what the word of the Lord is. And they say, whatever you command, whatever the Lord commands, we'll do it. And so Jeremiah says, okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to go back to Jerusalem, and we're going to get captured by the Babylonians and carried to Babylon. They say, no, the Lord hasn't spoken by you. Right? So anyway, the fuller account then is in Jeremiah's prophecy. Let's stand and continue praising God in the singing of Psalms.